take it off as it starts vibrating, please go outside. Don't disturb what goes on in here, because we're going to try to keep going. We, at this time, before we call to order, we have public hearing on ordinance number 333 for rezoning of property at 2045 Main Street from its current zoning, Tina, which is?
I don't know what it is.
We're going to R. We're going to R1.
Yeah, because it wasn't zoned, because they had left it off our map for some reason.
But it is part of our.
It's in C limits, yeah.
Okay, does anybody have any comment? This is Mr. Perkins's property about rezoning. Anybody who is opposed to this? All right.
Other than me.
You're opposed to it?
Yes, I'm changing it.
For now.
It's R1.
We'll move ahead. All right, so what do we do?
You'll just vote, when you get down here, we'll do the third reading.
That being said, please stand for the invocation by Reverend Brent Upchurch.
Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord God, for an opportunity to be able to come before you. God, we thank you for the right and the privilege we have to boldly come before the throne of grace because of the blood that was shed at Calvary. God, your word declares that if we will acknowledge you, that you will direct our path. And God, we pray for exactly that, God, in this meeting. God, we pray for wisdom beyond our years. God, we pray that peace and understanding, Lord God, will go before us. God, these that are leading this community, Lord God, will have wisdom, Lord God, and understanding and direction. God, we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise, God, for all your goodness. God, we ask of you to bless this community. God bless our country and our nation, Lord God, in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you. Brent and his wife are on the way to the hospital because they are going to minister to Joyce Powell, who is critically ill. And if any of you at your church have a pastor who would like to do the prayer, the invocation, please contact Jim Troyer at Morningstar. And now, Mr.
Everyone, face the flag, uncovered. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, certification of sunshine.
Yes, ma'am.
Roll call.
Mayor Hooper?
Here.
Commissioner Crabtree?
Here.
I had to think. Commissioner, Mr. Parker?
Here.
Commissioner Adderton?
Here.
Commissioner Nunley?
Here.
And City Manager, Mr. Mistro?
Here.
And City Attorney?
Here.
All right, does anybody have anything that needs to be added, deleted, or changed from the meeting minutes of our March the 9th and March the 20th meetings?
I noticed on the March 9th meeting on page 3 at the top, it's got a motion made by Commissioner Parker about giving the library, but then it doesn't say anything about whether it was seconded, approved, or
okay.
Anything.
Angela done these last time, but I'll get her to fix that.
Okay.
Okay. Any other changes or additions that need to be made? All right. Do I hear a motion to approve these minutes?
Make a motion.
Do I hear a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. New business. We contract with the Southeast Tennessee Development District to help us in planning. That's how we got the grant for cleaning up the old school building. We have applied for a grant to finish demolishing that building. That's where we got monies for, they helped us with a grant for the multimodal track and all those kind of things, and they are working with us on some other grants that we hope we can get. So, to stay in good standing with them, we need to approve their contract, and it is in your packet, and it tells you what we pay them, all that. So, do I hear a motion that we approve a contract with the Southeast Tennessee Development District from July 1 of this year to July June 30th of 2019.
Make a motion.
All right, we have a motion. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We have RFQs for legal services beginning in 2017. We need to interview these folks. You've had their RFQs now for a couple of 3 weeks. So do I hear a motion and a time for interviewing these people, these attorneys?
Okay, I make a motion that we interview the attorneys and that we do it on May the 22nd, starting at 5 o'clock. That would be a Monday. And so we would have Mr. Gallagher at 5, if they're available, Mr. Bible at 5:30, and then Mr. Smith at 6.
We have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
We got seconds everywhere.
Uh-huh. Who did?
Probably Terry.
Terry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right, update on the asphalt speed hump on the incline.
We had a survey brought, a petition brought in, and it was 43 clients that's against, or 33 property owners that's against the speed hump being put back on the incline. I had Rodney contact 911 to see how many people was on that, and it's a total of 55, so it is the majority that we had come to the conclusion that if it was at least half plus one, that we would not act on it. So it is the majority, so they will. 43 out of 55, so the speed hump will not be added to the back to the incline.
All right, we don't need to take any further action on that. Mm-hmm.
And Ian's asked me to make a form, so I did. I did a petition form for the people to come in if they decide they want a speed hump, or if they don't want it to be removed. If there's one on it,
right,
then they'll have to get that petition and get all the people signed. I need to know how many people is in that area too.
The next thing you have in your packet is this traffic, this thing from NAPCO. And there's two papers in here.
Yeah.
About the traffic lights and what it will cost to update both traffic lights. So the total for these two is what, Tina?
It's a little over $10,000. I got it wrote down here. Yeah.
$10,888.
And this, the one that's on 283 and 28, the $8,288 will put a turn signal on, which we desperately need.
Yes,
Brandy was good. Brandy Cookson was good enough to help me with this, to keep us from having to pay a survey or somebody to come in, an engineer. So she saved us a dramatic lot of money. And I'm asking, we have the money in capital outlay, but it's in the fire department, under the fire department. So I'm asking the board to let me transfer that to state street aid, and the rest of the money will come out of state street aid to be able to have this done. They've already troubleshooted. I told them to go ahead and troubleshoot the light up here, because it wasn't changing when it's supposed to, and that was $950. But there is one bad loop, and they'll let me know if there's anything else wrong. But right now, this is what it would cost to make both of them
bigger. So for $10,888, both of these lights will have a turn signal, and they will
work. Yes.
Okay. And when would they propose?
As soon as we sign this, I'll get Todd to sign it, because he's the city manager. He'll have to sign it, and then we'll send it back.
Okay. And this will not impact the fire department negatively?
No, because we wouldn't. Right. I had actually put $10,000 in the capital outlay for them in case there was something with the construction that we had to do after that. But we actually have enough money in their regular budget that we can do the flooring and stuff.
So how much were we taking that street?
We're only taking the $800 and something dollars. The $10,000 is going to actually be transferred from general fund to the state street aid, because...
$10,888 is what it's going to cost to fix the...
The $10,000's come from general fund, $800 and something dollars.
Yeah, they only had the $10,000 in there for the capital outlay.
Yes. So I'm just going to, it doesn't make the bottom line any different on the general fund side. It just moves it from one line item to another line item. But I'll have to amend the budget because of the state street aid. But I'm going to have to amend it anyways.
But that was already there for, in case they had anything.
So, but it doesn't make the, our bottom line any bigger.
So do I hear a motion that we authorize this expenditure?
I make a motion, we authorize.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
We can sign it and we can send it back to them.
So the next thing is the catapult, the 9 months, no, the ditch witch or whatever this thing is. Is that, this is from the tag people.
Yeah, well, it's three different estimates what it is.
I know, but the top one is tagged. So when you're looking at your packet, not looked at over carefully, there's three estimates in here. And this would allow us to, you want to say anything about that, Todd?
Yes, ma'am, we looked at the three estimates. The lowest bid is going to be, I believe, with the tag manufacturing.
The one on the top, guys?
Yes, ma'am. And I think that's going to be our best bet.
Anybody have any questions they want to ask Mr. Mistro or Ms. Green about this bucket that we need for cleaning out the ditches, backhoe thingy? All right, do I hear? What do you want me to call? I don't know a thing about this stuff, y'all.
I think the only thing is that the bucket that they have behind the backhoe now,
teeth. It has teeth.
And this here curls the ditch.
This is a no-drill backhoe.
Yeah.
So this ought to take care of the national streets.
Yeah.
Do I hear a motion that we authorize the purchase of this no-drill backhoe bucket from Tag Manufacturing?
Because they're two different places.
Make a motion.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, you got your 9 month financial report.
I distributed the 9 month financial report for everybody to review. Did anybody have any questions on anything? I'm looking at you.
No, you know, I've got questions on the bigger budget.
Okay.
But I didn't have any.
Okay.
Because I asked them all last time.
That's fine.
All right. We have our, anybody have any questions you want to ask about?
I don't agree with the budget that she's got for you.
Okay. That's something when we have budget input we will do.
Okay.
We'll take that up with Mr. Mistro. All right. Ronnie, do you have other things you want to say?
I got a question about the report.
Questions about what?
Do you have any questions about the report?
Anybody have questions about his report?
Also,
just turn it off.
Mr. Hernandez has struck a deer with one of the Ford Explorers. I got two estimates, one from Automotive Unlimited in Jasper. The total on it is $4,696.60. And the other one was Jack Green's color. It was $4,550.07. That's the lowest I recommend we go with Jack Green.
We will only be paying $500. We'll get the rest of it back because we have a deductible of $500.
Yeah, we don't have insurance.
Yes. That, I didn't turn Rodney's in because his was below the deductible. So it was no use turning in.
We don't have to take bids on this.
Well, we got two quotes, and that's all that the insurance company requires. We're just waiting on the report from the Highway Patrol.
Yeah, I'll have it tonight.
Highway Patrol.
Trooper Parker's going to drop it off tonight.
I'm just going to send it.
Any questions about this? Take a minute to let everybody look at it.
How badly was it damaged? I mean, what did it do?
It missed the bush bumper.
Push bumper. If the push bumper would have been already probably toppled.
He's lucky he didn't go through the windshield. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the rural south.
Yes. Roddy called me and says, I got glass all over me when that turkey came in on it.
You didn't get to there. I mean,
The turkey was still alive, too. It was sitting on the side of the road looking at him.
See, I think about the food bank if we could have that. But you can give somebody processed deer. I don't know anybody processed turkey.
Thank you, bud.
All right, do you have any, anybody have any questions about this, fixing this car? About the two quotes? All right, do I hear a motion that we approve this expenditure?
I make a motion that we approve Jack Green for the amount of $4,551.07 to fix the car.
And the majority of it to come out of the insurance reimbursement?
We'll pay for it, and then we'll get a reimbursement.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you.
Also, I've got Mr. Lamb, Steve Lamb here. He approached me about some new digital radio that they might be going to. I'm gonna let him explain to y'all what it is and how it works.
Steve?
Mayor, members of the board, thank you. I'm here representing the 911 board tonight. I want to bring you up to date to something we've been working on. As anybody in the police or fire service can tell you, we've had quite a few problems with our communications over the last few years since we narrowbanded, which was mandated by the FCC. I won't get in a real technical discussion about it, but the fact that we narrowbanded reduced the effective coverage area of our radio systems. When that happened, we did several things to try to improve it. We replaced a lot of infrastructure at the 911 center, infrastructure at our computer facilities, coax. We went through everything to make sure that we didn't have something wrong with our equipment. After a period of time, it became evident that we could not improve our communications with the current equipment, so we started looking for a replacement system. And what the 911 board has settled on is what we call a digital VHS radio system. I could say it's digital instead of analog. The signal travels a lot better. We have done some extensive testing. Squatch County just installed the same system up in the last year up in their county. They're using it countywide. And we were able to borrow a system in place right now that Puckett has. We were able to borrow a backup system. Tested extensively across the county and found that it gave at least equal or better coverage in most areas, and we think we can eliminate a lot of our problems from that. Several things, by going to digital, the transmission's a lot clearer. It has a trunking, it's what we call a trunking radio. So if your officer leaves Whipple on a pursuit or going down the county, right now what he has to do is change over to another repeater frequency to talk to somebody. With the trunking system, it does all that automatically. So it senses where the radio is and picks the best transmitter to talk to. Also, this system will include GPS tracking automatically in it for all the radios, so they'll be able to sit at 911 console, see where the vehicles are. That way, if an officer's down, we know where they are. Also, just like you mentioned, a couple of accidents, if you have some need to come back and pull that data out, like how much speed was in a pursuit or whatever, all that data is available to be retrieved out of the system. There's several vendors for this, but we chose the Motorola system called Motor Turbo, and it's currently in use by Puckett Ambulance in this county and actually a number of counties. Squatchy County has it. Now we get to the good part. What 911 is willing to do with this project is we're willing to buy all the equipment to start with going in. And what it means is every radio you have now in your cars will not work on the digital system. All the radios will be basically obsolete. So what 911 is proposing to do for this project is we're going to buy a radio for every patrol car and a handheld for every police officer in the county. Automatically, I think we've got 9 down on the list for Whipple. But we're going to buy the equipment for each of them. Unfortunately, we can't afford to do the entire fire department's tag. It's just too many pieces of equipment. But what we were able to budget was 2 mobiles and 2 handhelds for each fire department to get everybody started on this. Now, we're going to keep our current systems in place and operational. We're still going to do paging on the old fire frequencies, and we'll keep the current Marion County system up and running for right now indefinitely, because we'll have it for a backup in case something happens, and there'll be some times when they'll probably have to use it. A couple other benefits to this is where everybody used to have their own frequency, now they have what they call a talk group, similar to a cell phone. Whitwell will have their talk group, Jasper will have a talk group. So they have, you have your own private, it's not a channel anymore because it's not a separate frequency, but you'll have your own separate communications sector there, and then we also will have a countywide and that kind of stuff. Since it's digital, we can change that on the fly, so to speak, to give us coverage. In other words, if we have to put the fire and the police on the same channel or the same talk group, we can do that very easily. Bottom line is the total cost of this system, the expense of the radio, cost of the radio is $78.91. We've got another infrastructure outlay of $124,000 for a total outlay of $334,938. And 911 has the cash on hand to pay for this system. Now, this is the trend that most upgraded systems go to now. What they do is this is a joint venture between 911 and our vendor, which will be Communications Electronics. And it will be a joint venture. They will own the frequencies, we'll own the equipment, and they'll maintain the equipment for us. And the reason I'm here tonight is what happens is there's a user fee for each radio per year. And that's where I'm coming to the cities. It's $108 per radio. And to give you an idea, Whitwell's cost in this would be $2,376 a year. Now, it won't start the first year. This system, once it's out for proposals are coming in now, and we'll probably have it in by the 1st of August, we'll have the system. But the first yearly maintenance is included in our prices right here. So you don't have to budget anything this year.
Budget next year.
But we're asking the cities, I was in Jasper last week, or earlier this week, I guess it was, and we're asking the cities to help us with this. 911 can pay for the equipment, but we don't have the money to pay the total maintenance fees, like $26,000 a year. We don't have that in our budget to pay year after year. We've accumulated this money through grants and through our management of our system down there. I guess the last thing to say is, I know it's something y'all are not familiar with. I'll be glad to answer any questions. Roddy, I think Todd knows a little bit about this kind of stuff. It's going to really benefit the county, and I wouldn't be here asking for it if it wasn't. And again, to give you an idea, we're asking for $2,300.76 a year, and we're buying you over $19,000 worth of equipment on the front end and paying to install it. So everything will be done up front by the 911 system.
But we don't have to start paying this maintenance fee till 18-19.
To 18-19, yes, ma'am. And what would happen is the vendor would actually bill you directly on it. Now, the only other thing to do is like Todd, if let's say we start you off with two handhelds and two modems. If you decide to add a radio, and you can buy the radios, it has to be a certain brand. We have to program it because it's a closed system. But again, every radio is going to have that $108 a year fee if you add that to it.
What is the cost for the radio?
The handhelds run $850. The mobiles are $880. I think something approximate in that range.
Is that a fee of $108 a radio? Can it change as far as the maintenance fee?
That's a good question. I can't completely answer that right now.
Right.
We will have that an ironclad answer for you beforehand.
Because I know things go up.
We don't want to get caught on it. What the maintenance fee does is the vendor keeps the repeaters up. They keep the antenna system. They keep everything running 24/7. We don't have to do anything. Lightning hits. We paid $20,000 for a repeater of 911 last year. Of course, we got our money back from our insurance company, but still, it was a big expense. But yeah, we need to verify that. That's a good question. I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
That's okay.
So
Todd, what you have any input you want to make?
As far as us, they don't make a pager that operates on the digital system, so yeah. We can still operate on the old system, but they will provide us access to the digital system. just from a dispatcher standpoint, as far as topping, we're having major issues. I mean, you think about trying to top with somebody on the phone and they're sitting there wadding up paper topping, and this system will be just like me and you topping right here. I mean, it's just, it's well worth the money, it's worth the spend.
So you're getting two mobiles and two handhelds is okay with you right now?
And we're doing, and I've got a list here, we're doing every fire department, volunteer or municipal. They're all getting the same two and two, and the rescue squad's getting two and two.
And Robin, you have anything you want to add?
Strong recommended.
And I don't need a vote on it, Mayor, I'm just, what I'm trying to do is get out to the cities and let them know what's coming and asking for a commitment on this, so we definitely.
But you will need a vote for a commitment, I mean.
Yes, at some point in time, we will, yes.
Because we might forget it the next time we come around.
I'm not gonna let you forget it. I've been working on this for a year and a half.
Trust me, we can forget things here.
See, correct me if I'm wrong, you're adding some repeaters also, right?
Right, oh yeah.
So you're actually gonna be adding equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're adding repeaters at Suck Creek, we're adding repeaters in South Pittsburgh. And we also have budget, because you know the old industry, you always have to add a repeater. We've actually got $78,000 budgeted for another tower in the system if we have to have it once we get it installed.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Steve.
Steve Lamb has really done well too by educating us about Everbridge.
Everbridge, yes.
I always want to call it Everbright, which is a tornado warning. And if you have not signed up for that, it is a free service, but you have to fill out one of these lovely papers. And then they will sign you up, and I guarantee you, if there's any kind of severe weather, you will get a warning about it. So.
Any kind of events, we have to set up papers where you can sign up for that too. Anything we have, Labor Day, whatever, we're gonna have a table set up where you can sign up.
For people to sign up. Yeah, it's great. We, Edward and I get it on our cell phone and our home phone, so if you haven't signed up, we still have blank sheets here. You might ask Tina, and I'm sure she could get you a paper here tonight. So, having heard about this, do I hear a motion that we agree to what it will be, $2,376 maintenance for the 18-19 budget year?
I'd like to say something before we go to the vote, though. From experience, and I'm like Todd, I've been out there at night with these radios that we got, you can't hear, and when it comes to men and women's lives out there on the road, this is very important. I mean, Todd and them's our dispatchers, without them hearing us, then we're ruined. So I just want the public to know that this is a very important issue to protect our officers out there.
All lives, protect everybody.
So I make a motion.
All right. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Todd, you have anything you want to add to the fire department report?
No.
If I have any questions you want to ask, be sure that you note that fire department's going to have a car show on Saturday, July the 1st at the park. And we're going to have an open house on September the 17th. So anybody have any fire department questions? Okay. Public library, Dr. Zeus had a birthday in March. And
we'll get that on there.
All right, the soaring event is April the 18th, and it starts at 7 o'clock. It will be in the Whitwell High School gym. They're going to have a food truck there. The hang glider people are going to do some, if it's not raining, some hang gliding. But if you've not seen this soaring event, it's awesome because they have wounded bald eagles and other other birds that they will showcase, and you will. It's great for kids. That's and anybody. It's just awesome. So that being said, if I have any questions, they want to ask about that.
Okay.
All right. Senior citizens.
The only thing I have.
Waiting on their car, truck, whatever, bus.
Van.
You have something you need to add here, Bridget?
I just need to add that today I received a call from Squatchy Valley Electric, and we received a $1,500 grant.
Yeah.
For a new stove and new office chair.
Now, if you did not get BJ's report, Ms. Marilyn sent it to us via email. It's pretty long to print out, so. All right, who's gonna talk to the park board? Jim, you have something important for the park board?
Yeah, we are gonna host a rodeo by Bar W Rodeo Company out of Georgia. It's gonna be a big rodeo. It's gonna be June the 23rd and the 24th. And we've also got all the fields in shape. We've had all of our electrical repairs done. I got the gate replaced that was stolen. And we started putting our lights in, not before last, the poles. And the squirrels and the birds have eat our light poles up, and the lights are ready to fall on field number three. So we're trying to.
I talked to Valmont, and I think we're gonna get some poles from them donated.
He talked to him today.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Brooks, who you talked to?
Actually talked to, Brian Cockrell and Jennifer Brooks.
Yes.
And it sounds like they're gonna be able to round up five poles that they're willing to donate. As far as size, they're probably gonna be a little bit longer than 50 feet, 10 feet in the ground. He also mentioned having SVEC put them in for us, and that they would do that at no cost. So I'm waiting to hear from them once he rounds up, and he'll give me a call and let me know.
So we're thumbs up on those poles. Jim, you gonna get your poles?
It sounds like it.
We need them.
Which are those poles, please, brother?
Really need to brag on this park board, especially Jim and Rocky Brown. And Murdoch on his unpaid time, and Mr. Easterly. They've been up there digging and mowing and spreading mulch and painting. And I said a while ago, this softball that we have up there now, we've got four teams. But if you haven't seen those kids play, the little 5 and 6 year olds, y'all, they don't even charge you to get in. They go buy a hot dog. The hot dogs are only $2. But they're the cutest things. They throw dirt, they have the best time. And the little hind catcher the other night from Bridgeport was just sitting there in the dirt having the best time you have ever seen on the dirt. So go see them. They don't even charge. They're going to have a tournament. When, Jim, when is the tournament?
I'm not sure if they had to give me the
26th, 27th, final date.
26th, 27th, 28th. Okay. And that's on the Facebook and the website. You'll get to see that on there. So, and we know that Valmont's going to get us these poles, because I told her the other day at chamber meeting that I would call every week till we saw the poles.
These poles, it's been up there. It's been up there for 33 years.
And these are metal poles. Yeah. That they're going to get. So.
We got one. It looks like it's about to fall.
They'll be up there when we're long gone and dead.
Well, now, when they don't, you said you were going to get SVC to install the poles.
They do it for free.
Are you going to get them to do the light bulbs if they come up for that, or are you going to try to get somebody to get
them?
You've already got the light bulbs in?
Yeah, the bulbs are in.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wondered, because it said here you were going to try to find somebody else to do that.
Squatch Valley came up, and they've had so many storms. They've been aiming to come up every week.
They've been backed up, yeah.
But every week we'd have a storm, and there'd be trees falling across the lines. And so they finally made it the other day.
Okay. So that's the.
And we started putting the bulbs in, and that's when he found these poles.
That's when he found.
With what Brian said is that we will have to release them from liability. And then also, I'll type up something from the commission telling them that we appreciate the donation. But like I said, we should know something 100% here in the next couple of days.
All righty, Neighborhood Nuisance Board.
We've actually, I've got Rodney to cite three people in the court. We'll have three people that we've condemned their property in here in court in May. The judge said they need to show cause, and he'll give them so much time to get it tore down or whatever, or they need to let him know what they're doing. And if they don't comply, then they'll get $50 a day for every day that it's. But once that, did you get that last one served?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, I've got one more that needs to be served, but now I can tell Tommy, not Tommy, I'm sorry, Tommy, I was looking at you. I can tell Roy Brackett, once those two have been, when I get that return receipt from that one, he'll be able to go up there and put that condemned paper on the property itself.
Roy Brackett is our.
Our building inspector, yes.
I did skip, you have anything else to say about that? I did skip over the Planning Commission. Planning Commission met on March the 30th. We had one new request and one old request, and Madeline Shelton, who is our representative from the Regional Planning Commission, recommended that we do the zoning for R1. Of course, we've already had that, and we need to do that tonight, and that we also rezone the property. That request was from Citizens Tri-County, who owns the property.
Yeah, I got a copy of it right here.
Mixed use to industrial. Mm. This is the property that used to be Gary Hooper's trucking company. So that is the recommendation of the Planning Commission to this commission. Do I hear a motion that we proceed with these rezonings?
I make a motion that we proceed with rezoning these properties.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now we have to have two more on that one, and this other one's approved.
Did you not say that we needed to have a special call meeting?
Yeah, we need to have a meeting in between.
Because he wants to start. He wants to get it.
They want to get started on it. And then we would have our third one in our public comments on May the 13th. Is it May the 13th or May the 11th? Our next
May the 11th.
May the 11th. Mm-hmm. So we need to have just a short meeting to take up that one item.
And that would be the second reading?
That would
and
be
public
the second
hearing?
Reading. No, the no, public the hearing would come on March the 11th.
What about the last week of April?
If it's on a Monday, I'll be in Milwaukee on the weekend. Let's see. Everybody look at your calendars. The last week in April.
27. I'm just saying that so I can make sure I publicize it.
27th would work for me. Mm-hmm.
I'm good on 27.
So Ted, would it work for you? 27? Jim, 27th work for you? All right, so we'll have a call meeting to take up that zoning on the 27th.
And what time?
6. Okay.
Hold on, Jason. We're good.
Wait till we get there, okay? All right, so we have a third reading of ordinance number 333, amending the zoning map to zone property at 2045 Main Street to R1 Low Density District. And that is Mr. Perkins's property, and speak quick.
All right, that property was zoned R1. It was nothing whenever I bought it. There was no zoning at all there. The reason why it ever been in the city was only when Harry Joe had it as a funeral home. He wanted some police coverage up there. And I bought it under the intention that, you know, not having any zoning on it, it would be worth more like farmland or whatever I wanted to use it for. And when I come here and paid for the permits, I think I paid like $1,600 or $1,900 for permits to go up there and have, you know, shelter and stuff as far as the carports and stuff redone. And I want to keep that thing open more to R2 than I did ever a R1. But they zoned it as a R1 because
I had to have something to put a, it had to be permitted to something at the time, you know? And so I want to change it back to R2.
To change it back to R2, you're going to have to file another request.
And I've got an application if you come in.
Well, we'll be tomorrow.
And then that
That has to go to the planning commission and then to us. All right.
Because they either want to zone it back to R2, or we want to pull it back out of the city.
Well, I think it was R1 to begin.
You can't pull it back out of the city.
Pull it out.
You can't pull it out of the city.
Okay, guys, whoa, we can be here all night with this, but here's the bottom line. If you asked for an R1 zoning, we gave you an R1 zoning. Now, if you want to change it to an R2, you're going to have to come back to the planning commission, and the planning commission would then make a recommendation and bring it back to this commission. And Tina can tell you when the next planning commission will be.
I think Angela told me it was, they wasn't meeting again until June, is it?
June, I think that's right.
I think it's June.
All right, currently, but we do have to deal with this. We either approve or disapprove this R1 zoning. That's what it, you know, it, currently, everything around there is residential. So Todd, do you have anything you would offer here?
What is it right now?
It is R1.
Right now, it's R1.
That was the reading tonight, right?
It was nothing, because they forgot to put it in the zoning map.
Because they did not put it on the zoning map.
Okay.
So that's right. Mr. Perkins requested that it be R1.
But they put it under there because I needed something to be able to buy permits in order to do the work up there.
But that's what you requested, and that's what we have to deal with.
And that may very well be true. I mean, no, I needed to know what I needed to put out.
But right now, that's what we have to deal with.
I said, Madeline over there, the lady, I'm sorry.
Madeline Shelton, right now, the regional planning people and the planning commission recommended that we go to this R1.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so do I hear a motion that we do the R1 now?
I make a motion.
All right, do I hear a second?
I'll say.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well, it can be changed if the planning commission votes.
If the planning commission votes, it can be changed. But right now, it's R1. You get a new form from Tina, fill it out, comes the planning commission. All right, thank you.
Let me get that from you, Tina. I need to leave up there.
Okay.
Look, you'll have to wait till after the meeting.
Okay.
I'll be here at the office.
334, which is our, tomorrow's Good Friday, ain't nobody going to be.
We're closed.
All right, this is the first reading of ordinance number 334, which we've all had a chance to read, and this is that, and we already dealt with this, so we don't have to deal with this again. All right. First reading of 335, which sets our annual budget.
Do we have to approve 334?
We did already.
We already did.
We did that way back.
Yeah, we did that.
Okay.
When we talked about the planning commission. All right, so 335 is the big fat budget document, guys. The fat one, right here, this one.
And if there's anything that Jim would recommend to change or something, we can always read this at the next, the special call meeting, if there's something that needs to change.
I have a whole list of questions, but it's just because I'm not good at budget documents. Just look, there's one of them to help me understand, Public Works. We're estimating $247,000, but in 18, we're only going to 53,000 plus.
Now what?
This is on page 2.
That's right.
Page 2.
Yeah, I know, I'm sure.
State Street Fund, under State Street Fund.
No, it's under Public Works.
Yeah, well, I mean, under the bold State Street Fund.
But that is our sidewalk grant, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it is, yes.
I just had little questions like that, so it's fine with me.
Catch me up on what the Bryant Sewer Project is.
That's our.
That was way back when you were mayor with that story. So the Bryant Sewer Project.
That's our.
Taking it to the prologue.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I got it.
And that's through the development district. All right, now, any other questions, anything you want to ask about the budget? Todd, you have anything you want to say here? Anything you need to tell us about your, what, 3 days on the job?
Well, I've enjoyed it. I'm learning and getting my feet more on the ground. Just as kind of what, you know, we've talked about is we're looking at trying to become a little bit more efficient, mainly with the internet, the email service. And that's kind of our main priority right now. Doesn't look like it's going to cost too much more than what we're doing right now, but as far as being able to get messages out to our staff, it's going to be a lot easier and a lot quicker. And then we'll work on the website down the road. But so far, I've enjoyed it. Got some great folks here.
Yes, we do. We have the best people you'll find anywhere. And this, for those of you, this is the information about the service he wants to use to get everybody on the same page. Because we've got a communications mess. Steve Lamb understands getting communications together, and we want to do that. So take this.
Are we not going to, is there not going to pass this, or it's going to what?
Which thing?
That's the, that's the.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. We're supposed to vote on that, aren't we? So we would. Ordinance number 335, Steve.
I can offer you something, though. The Everbridge system, while it's obviously was originally purchased for mass notification of the public, it also has an employee side that we use for dispatching fire departments. I can set you up in that system, and you can do your own paging, and you can use that to communicate with your people if you'd like.
Well, how about if you and Mr. O set up a time to chat that?
Well, I like that. You know I'm all about that.
All right. While they're talking about that, we'll come back next month. Everybody look this over real carefully. If you've got questions, come here and ask Todd. So, ordinance number 335, you've had a chance to look at it, fixes the budget for next year and projects the budget for the following year. And do I hear a motion that we accept this ordinance?
Make the motion.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Now, one of the things that was in your packet from the park board that Jim didn't say anything about, but I just like to, this is just a bring to your attention thing. Our track seriously needs to be resurfaced at the park. It also needs to be lengthened to get us close to a mile, because one of the big problems we have here in Marion County is obesity, and all you have to do is look at the State Department, the Department of Health statistics to know we're way too fat. But this would promote some walking. Now, the problem comes in that just to resurface this track, and this is just discussion, we're not ready to vote on anything, this is just informational, $18,340 is the estimate to expand the track. If we did just 4-inch stone to begin with, would cost us an additional $16,750. If we paved the additional, it would cost us $36,000. That's a 2-inch asphalt. Now, we're not talking about doing that right now. That is a future plan. We hope we can do that. Now, let me say this to you. We have three banks in this community. Two of them have been very supportive of us. One of them, and I'll not mention names of any of these banks, has not been terribly supportive. But if you bank in Whitwell, when you go into that bank, please ask them to contribute to this fund for resurfacing the track. One of them has made Citizens Tri-County a really good commitment. We don't have it in writing yet, but the other two we haven't heard from. Also, as you go to businesses, even if somebody contributed $100 or $200, ask them if they would not contribute to resurfacing this track. And I think that would give us a really good start. Now, is there anything else that you commissioners want to bring before this body? If not, do I hear a motion that we adjourn? I might get to communion yet.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Do I hear a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?